warmest of greetings to you, and welcome to Happily Ever Teaching, where we help you enthrall your learners in every subject under the sun using the best teaching method known to science, storytelling. To do this, we feature special guest educators who are passionately keen for your children to become amazing and successful human beings. I am storyteller Chip Cahoon, and with me this week is...
Hello, I'm Abby Marison. I am one of the education program managers for Festival Bridge, and I have 10 years under my belt as teaching in a primary school.
Hi, I'm Rob. I'm currently teaching year four class in Milton Keynes, but I've worked in every key stage, key stage two downwards.
And today we are celebrating the Chinese New Year of the Tiger, along with exploring what religion and philosophy we can teach with this week's folktale from Taiwan. You can listen to the story by downloading our sister podcast, Fables and Fairy Tales, or search our website, epictales.co.uk, for No Tigers on the Table. There you'll find a video of me telling the story that you can share with your children. And if you sign up as an Epic Educator, you'll also get a copy as an ebook or paperback, illustrated by the marvellous Mario Coelho, the full audiobook for you to download at any time, and even some tips for telling the story yourself. Right now, though, let's continue our discussion with Abby and Rob, and also Mr. Chen and the entire village of Xinkang in Taiwan, who, of course, the reason why we're telling the story with them is because it is going to very soon be the Chinese New Year. But it's going to be the Year of the Tiger coming up, which is why we wanted to have a nice Chinese story involving a tiger. And yeah, how can we use this story then to really help our children explore the concepts found in Chinese New Year? Abby, do you want to kick us off with this one?
Absolutely. So I think that particularly with the younger children and with anyone who really doesn't know much about Chinese New Year and about the culture that's associated with it, a really great starting point is to explain that the year that you were born in means that you have an animal that's associated with you and with particular characteristics. So really great to get the wider community involved in this by maybe asking all the teachers if they're happy to share what year they were born in. So you can then say, okay, a particular year will be associated with a particular dog. So around the people that you're listening to. So I am the year of the dog, 1982. And my characteristics should be then that I'm loyal and honest and amiable and kind and cautious and prudent.
I like the way you said should be there.
Supposedly. So that's quite nice because you can do a little bit of what Rob shared earlier in last week, I believe it was, about dictionaries and making sure that you know what each of those words means and finding out what those words actually mean. Chip is the year of the pig, so he's 1983, and Rob is 86, so the year of the tiger. So what you can do is either with people who are happy to share their birth dates with you, or what you could do is ask the young people as a bit of home learning to find out the year that their siblings or their parents or their grandparents were born in. And then hopefully you'll get a real spectrum of the different animals. You could make a nice display board of different animals of people that you have connected to your class of what animals they are, and yeah, find out what those characteristics mean. And then if you've got any young people expecting younger siblings to be born or any children who are on their way in the coming year, you can say, right, well, you're going to be a tiger. And our topic at the moment is based on No Tigers on the Table, and we want to know that we'll be celebrating new tigers in this year. So
arguments breaking out in a house where it's changing time for the baby. No tigers on the table. And it has to be remembered, well, I suppose it doesn't have to be, but it probably should be remembered that things like Chinese astrology were once upon a time considered a science. They didn't appear out of nowhere. They came out from a time where science literally just meant observing the way the world around you. And they obviously observed that people who were born in a particular year demonstrated such and such a quality, and people who were born in another year demonstrated such and such a quality. And
these qualities seem to repeat themselves in 12-year cycles. Now, I don't know how true this is. I must admit, I haven't done the research myself, but perhaps you could be running this as a little experiment in your school to find out just how accurate the Chinese astrology is.
There's a lovely whole school assembly coming up there, I think, where the head teacher okay. can say, right, each of you, each year group is meant to represent these different things and watch out this teacher because you're getting this lot next year.
That's true, actually, yeah, because the whole class will be represented by one particular, well, pretty much, maybe two animals, or two.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to...
Unless you've got mixed year groups and then you could have four animals.
Yes. Yeah, you could end up with more animals. But in that case, then, the actual story of the Chinese New Year, that the race itself is a good one to come back to, because there are lots of lovely little moments in that story. I know, thinking of the tiger again, especially, the tiger was expecting to win, being as we said right at the end of the last episode about how tigers can actually swim. The tiger was expecting to win, and it's very competitive anyway, and was a little bit annoyed at how it got beaten. But if you go right to the end of the story, the tiger did eventually accept the rat as the winner and thought that it was quite cunning and clever. And that whole side of acceptance is also there in the character of the tiger. So, yeah, I think you can explore those qualities as well by using the race story to show how, even though you're different animals, you can still get along.
Mm. I'm a bit disappointed that no aquatic animals took part in this race. There's no fish, there's
it's
no
not
dolphins.
Very inclusive, is it?
No. No, you had to go all the way to Greece, I think, in order to have an aquatic sign.
Yes, you did, yeah. So I also want to talk a little bit about Chinese New Year, again, partly because it's a story which, as adults, we know because we've experienced it for, we've had more lifetime to experience it, but the younger children or the children we teach probably haven't come across it. So just to tell them the story and, like Abby said, identify the different characteristics of each animal and their what they represent and things like that. So identify that with the children, that works across the whole school. And then I've also got, like, retell it with a modern spin. So how could you do it differently? I'm not entirely sure how I would do it, but whether you change the animals, whether you would, instead of a race across a river, it might be crossing a road or something like that. And then kind of drawing it back and say, is the message the same? That different people or different animals have got different qualities and characteristics. So then kind of, do we need to change it? Or does the original story still work and have value?
It's a very popular story trope, actually. One of the stories that I've researched for a collection of the stories that Roald Dahl heard when he was a young boy includes the story of the King of the Birds. And it's a very similar idea. All of the birds flying up into the sky, the one who can fly the highest is going to be the one who gets to be the King of the Birds. But I think that there's a loophole, actually. They say it's whoever gets the highest in the sky who's going to be the King of the Birds. And of course, Eagle is able to fly the highest, but it's a much smaller bird sitting on his back who ends up being the highest and so comes back down as the king. So yeah, you get that whole race challenge between animals in quite a few different versions, I think. So that's RE then, is it? The looking at the Chinese New Year?
Yeah, exploring different religions from around the world and different beliefs.
I think it would be really wise to mention, or just to add it into this particular episode, especially with the phrase cultural capital becoming quite hot with the new Ofsted framework.
Okay.
You mentioned at one point, Rob, young people aren't likely to have come across this story. You know, obviously in Norfolk, Suffolk, Peterborough, Cambridgeshire, you're really right. We don't have good diversity. The young people who represent this particular culture, probably there aren't many, but maybe we should just make reference to the fact that it's so important to learn about the cultures that either might be represented in your schools or to learn about them because they're not represented in our schools. So maybe just to pick up on your point, just to make sure it's clear that we understand the importance of it.
Absolutely, yeah. That's all we have time for today, folks. If you try out any of these ideas, or if you'd like us to help you teach a topic you are soon to cover with your young learners, let us know on social media using @teachhappily, or leave us a review using your favourite podcast app. Please also share this podcast with your colleagues and help us start a story-led revolution in classrooms around the world so children everywhere can learn in a way that's effective, memorable, and enjoyable all at the same time. Tomorrow, the village of Hsinkang will help us teach art. But right now, it only remains for us to say cheerio, and we hope to hear your story soon. So,
cheerio!
And we hope to hear your story soon.